Curds and Curds with Carmen and Leanne, bringing you conversations with farmhouse cheesemakers and small dairy producers.
Lucky! Vanilla! Vanilla!
Back for a summer special in January on Sundays at 8:30 a.m.
Oh, Vanilla!
On your favourite station, 3CR. Welcome to Herds and Curds with Carmen and Leanne. Today we're in part two of our conversation with Paul and Kerry Wilson of Nimbin Valley Dairy in the Northern Rivers. They make lovely goats and cows cheeses, often in a French vein. And if you want to find out more about this, you can go to part one of our conversation, which is on the 3CR website at 3cr.org.au/herdsandcurds. We pick up our conversation with our discussion on the Northern Rivers environment and how the goats respond to it.
In really heavy rain, they'll sit inside and starve to death rather than go out and eat. So we'll feed them with hay and stuff, yeah.
And so are you able to produce a lot of your food, your hay, your grain?
No, we don't. We're more pasture-based here.
We don't have very good, Europeans will probably laugh at this, but we don't have very good hay-making country. It's too steep.
No.
And is it too wet as well?
Oh, that's the wrong sort of farm. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And so you buy your hay?
Yeah, so we buy hay in.
And do you feed grain as well?
Yeah. We buy that in. I suppose we don't have to be self-sufficient. I'd rather focus on what we do best and let other people do what they do best, which is like making hay, the right sort of hay that we want, that what time of year and what and the grain that we need. So
when you're buying the grain and the and hay, like what prompts you to decide to buy it from here or there? Do you have
I've usually got a couple of suppliers and what's available. Yeah. And the price, of course, because we've got to get a return on what we're putting in. So, yeah, it's basically a business decision. We always have a couple of suppliers on hand so that you can find out what you need. Because we're at Nimbin, but, you know, there's a great haymaker at half an hour away, but 2 hours west, they make great lucerne as well. So, you know, it's just all a matter of what suits us at what time of the year.
So it's easy enough to find. You don't have challenges. Yeah.
As long as it's not a drought.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what everybody wants. Because then you're fine with all the big dairy farms as well. So.
But we are very lucky. We're the last place to go in drought. Even in the Northern Rivers, which is very lucky in terms of drought, we are just on the side of a mountain that just cops a heap of rain. So
rain here.
5 minutes away, it can be brown, and we've still got grass on our farm.
Pasture management, isn't it, Carmen? Good pasture.
That's reassuring.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's why. You were asking about climate change. Like when we had that savage drought and those temperatures and the bushfires last year, it was just so devastating because we just don't have that here. And if that's what we're getting, you know, the rest of the country must be really copying it.
I want to know if you feel optimistic about this industry, about our industry in Australia, or what changes would you like to see in the future?
Oh, we're very optimistic. We're hoping to build a new factory this year. So, yes. Yep. So, yeah, we're very optimistic. And we want to continue building a business into the future that may or might be run by within the family. So hopefully by the family, but if not, that's fine as well.
But Kerry, your sons are interested in staying part of the business.
Well, two of them, Zach's come back to manage one of our factories that we're running elsewhere at the moment. So he came back to manage that when I went into hospital. So he's taken leave and he'll probably stay hopefully this 12 months as well while I build the factory and get things going back at Nimbin on the farm.
Are you going to build a new cheese room on farm?
Yes. Yep. With Cellador sales.
Okay. In the same building?
Initially, yes. Stage two will be a separate.
So we're going to expand out onto the eastern side of the factory.
Mm-hmm.
And Ivan designed up the factory.
Yep.
And
fantastic.
So that'll be stage one, and then stage two will probably knock down the old bit and rebuild.
Okay. Well, that's very exciting.
Mm.
Yes, yep. It is.
And just tell me, what changes would you like to see in our industry, if any?
I think it's motoring along. We've got good technical support through Mark. Mm-hmm. We've got good maybe we need to focus a little bit more on business support, like growing a business, because mm-hmm. you can learn how to make a cheese, but running a cheese making business is another story again. That's more difficult. And doing it with your own animals and your own milk, that's even more difficult.
You wear so many hats, don't you?
Oh,
yeah. How many hats do you have?
That's right.
Got a marketing hat and an animal production hat and a cheese making hat. And when you look around the country at who's growing their business and who's doing a good job in Australia in the last 10 years, it's those businesses that don't have their own animals.
Just buying milk.
Yeah, because it's just so much easier. Mm. And that's not to say that's the only model, but the whole farmhouse thing with your own milk supply is just, it's a quantum leap in difficulty.
Mm. Well, it must be, and it's a lifestyle thing too, isn't it? Like you're tied to your animals.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to be there to milk them every day.
You've got an incredible amount of, obviously, you need to be multi-skilled, but also you gain an incredible amount of control in terms of the quality of your production.
Oh, yeah.
On the upside of that.
Yeah, and your marketing story is much stronger.
Yeah, we have a much better story coming. Like we can go to farmers market and sell our fresh goat milk, our fresh cow milk, our butter, our white cheeses, our blue cheeses, our hard, semi-hard cheeses, and our marinated cheeses, all made on our farm.
Mm.
Whereas not many people can have that, wear that hat, and give a whole story of 15 years of slog.
Mm.
Survival.
As a consumer, my level of respect is far more elevated for a farmhouse producer than a cheese maker. For me, it's just, we can't compare the interest of having that quality of milk, that production that exists next to the animal production.
And we wouldn't give away that story either. It's our story. It's our journey.
You know, in Europe, Carmen, talking about changes would be good to see. You know, a lot of small producers make the cheese and after a week they sell it to, or I'm not sure the actual business arrangement, but they then someone else comes and collects it and matures it on, and all the affinage is done by a third party.
Yeah, well, that is a system here, and certainly also if we think about the Conte production, then you know we've got farmers that employ a cheesemaker that then are associated also with an affinage facility. So you know everyone's really focused on their role as a farmer, role as a cheesemaker, role as a maturer of cheese, and as you said, Paul, there's also businesses like Mons, for example, that go and buy we call it white cheese, don't we, when a cheese is very young. When a cheese is very young without its rind develop, you know, before the rind develops, that a Nathaniel can then buy that cheese and mature it. And it means that your cheese is being matured in a facility that it's adapted for that product.
So I think that'd be a great system in terms of
you'd like to see that in Australia.
Yeah, that'd be a great development, I would reckon. I don't know how we would initiate that or encourage it to happen, but that'd be great if it could.
I think you're right. Also, because I think that's one of the struggles in Australia is to have a good maturation facility.
Yeah, it's a big job in itself, isn't it?
Mm, it's expensive.
It's expensive.
And it would be a lot of work too, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Additional to your current workload if you...
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
And there's little, like a lot of the European places, they have little robots running around picking up cheese, turning them, washing them. Because you can over romanticize the work too, you know? Like,
I'm very good at that.
Washing them by hand, but washing cheeses by hand 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, you know?
It's repetitive. It's the kind of
person that does that, isn't it?
Yeah, not my vibe. But that's why farmhouse production is so exciting, because we get to be farmers, we get to be cheesemakers, we get to be maturers, we get to be sellers. We, you know, our role.
It is very diverse.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you wouldn't want to not be involved with the animals. It must be a great, you know, part of your life, like the actual relationship you have with your animals.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Even though they get in the garden and sit on the couch.
You're tuned to 3CR, and this is Herds and Curds with Carmen and Leanne. We're in conversation with Kerry and Paul Wilson of Nimbin Valley Dairy. We're going to have a break by going to a track we've selected for them called What a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong.
I see trees of green. I see them blue for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, bright blessed days, dark sacred nights, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the skies, also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies crying. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Oh, yeah.
You're listening to 3CR and Herds and Curds. We're in conversation with Paul and Kerry Wilson of Nimbin Valley Dairy.
Can we just ask Paul about his role in ASCA, the Australian Specialist Cheesemakers Association? Because you've been pretty, you've done some fantastic things to evolve the association.
Oh, okay. So I'm involved in ASCA, and one of the reasons I want to be involved in ASCA was that I'd see all these great cheese making recipes and talk to people about making different cheeses, and they'd say, oh, you'll need this culture, you need that culture. And it turned out we could never, ever get anything but mainstream commercial cultures in Australia. So we, over a period of a couple of years, got set up a culture importing part of ASCA. And we, every couple of months, all the cheese makers get together, and we put in our culture orders of these cultures from a factory in France called Stander. And we consolidate that order and we import it in one bulk import. And and then they arrive in Australia, clear customs, and they're sent out to individual makers. So that system works really well. And it just
and
gives...
The two arms of that, to have this diversity of cultures is exciting. And also to be collaborating with other cheesemakers to do this thing collectively is also so exciting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's great. And we can also, we have the technical support of Standard. So if you have some issue with your cheese, you want to put this kind of flavour in or that kind of flavour, then you can talk to their technical people and they'll work through it with you. So it's a great little system.
And that's a real advantage, isn't it? Because historically, I don't think we've had that technical support in terms of what's in our cultures.
Not beyond the mainstream commercial supermarket type cheeses we have. Mm.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
Future projects for Asuka? You don't have to.
Well, we're working with that moisture meter. A lot of the cheese making equipment used to be several hundred thousand dollars to buy. In terms of control equipment, moisture equipment and all that sort of stuff. And there's now quite a few different smaller technical systems, just as technology develops, that are within our reach now. So we're looking at evaluating those. And the cheese school, while it is an Asker, it's got some Asker people in it, and that'll be great for Australia, just... running cheese making workshops and just that technical advice. Yeah.
And so that will be a bit of a platform for Asuka to engage with heavily, I suppose.
Yeah. I guess so, yeah. So lots of different people can get their journey started. Yeah.
Fantastic.
This is 3CR and Herds and Curds. We're in conversation today with Paul and Kerry Wilson of Nimbin Valley Dairy.
What advice would you give to someone wanting to become a farmhouse cheesemaker?
You got to do your homework, like anything like that. You've got to learn how to make cheese. Like when I look back at what we used to sell to customers at farmers markets and call it cheese, I'm embarrassed. We had a lot of very understanding customers who were very supportive. Because even after you've done all your technical training, you've still got to, make a lot of cheese. And then you've got to turn that into a cheese business. And it's a lot of work. And when I look around here, there's been a number of cheese making businesses start and finish very quickly. And part of the background story I didn't tell you is when we're in the drought, we actually ran out of water. We had to... find another factory to make water in, make cheese in. And that it's an old cheese factory that was started by someone else. They put a whole heap of money in it, like hundreds of thousands of dollars. And they went for six months and they shut down. And that story is not uncommon because people have this romantic idea that they're going to, make cheese and stand at the podium and receive an award for the best cheese in the country. And, there's a lot of work and planning and a lot of sleepless nights and
could you describe your I really like to hear a day in the life. Could you describe your average day
now or 10 years ago?
Maybe you can describe both, because it's interesting to see the change.
10 years ago, I don't remember, we blocked it out.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that 10 years ago, that was just us. So it was basically Paul was inside making cheese. I was outside milking cows, goats, and going to farmers' markets.
That was lovely too, wasn't it?
And that was, yeah.
We just didn't have any money.
Yeah, didn't have any money.
Right. And you worked every day.
Yeah.
And no holidays.
Yeah. And
what time would you get up? What time did you get up and what time did you go to bed?
Farmer's market, you leave at 5 and you're back at 12 and you're absolutely stuffed, and then you've got an afternoon work to do on the farm and then run the business as well. But that was 10 years ago. And so, you're accelerating out of 10 years to here now. We're running two factories on two sites with, 10 staff and a cow and a goat dairy, and about to embark on consolidating everything this year into one big plant here at the farm with Celador sales to open the farm basically to people driving past, because Nimbin is the second most visited place in New South Wales behind third, Sydney, then Byron Bay, then Nimbin.
Wow. Incredible.
So, because Nimbin, everybody comes to Nimbin to have a gawk at the hippies in the street, and they walk down, and after half an hour, they go, well, now what am I going to do?
Yeah, it can be a bit boring.
No, yeah. You know, you've had your coffee and you've done whatever else, but that's it. So yeah. We'll offer something a bit more different for Nimbin as well. So
that's great.
But that's so a day in our life is now is Paul's probably making cheese 3 or 4 days a week, but then managing the whole cheese, other cheese making facilities that are happening in the background as well, and in the affinage of the cheese. And then basically he hands it to me and then I'll sell it. So I've got to manage the sales and the logistics of selling it and where who goes where and managing all the orders and managing the customers. And always, you're always looking out for more customers because we need to grow our business for the next generation. So,
and the thing is too, as soon as you've got staff, you've got to make sure that they've got regular jobs and regular hours. So it becomes a bit more stressful.
Hmm.
The physical workload might be a bit less now, but now the emotional load is there because, you know, these people have mortgages and commitments and
you're responsible.
Yeah, that's right.
You just can't turn them on or off.
Yeah.
So. So basically, you know, in the future, we will both become more managers from the desk because we have to, because that's the only way the business will continue to grow.
Mm.
And also, it's not physically possible. Like we're in our mid to late 50s now.
Okay.
You can't keep working at that level forever.
Yeah, and I can't anyway. I've got 12 months ahead of me at the desk, so that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I am stuck there. Yeah.
Paul, do you do the milking? Like, who does the milking?
Paul hasn't seen a tit on a cow or goat for 10 years.
How many comes
in the hole in the wall or through a pipe?
How many goats do you have and how many cows? And does the milking?
So we've got 100 goats, about 100 goats, and we've got
60 cows. Yeah.
And we process all of that milk. And
plus more.
Yeah. And
plus other milk as well.
We have Daniel, Kerry's youngest boy, he milks, oversees the milking with one other guy. And Kerry can do a little bit of milking now. It's good for his rehab to be out and moving around, but he can't do too much. And, so they do the farming side. Then with inside the factory, there's me and Kat Harvey. She's a lady that trained up to be a cheesemaker. And she's a chef by training, but she now likes to make cheese. And we have a couple of offsiders, depending on the day of the week, for wrapping and helping. And then we have some people selling at the farmers markets. I do a couple. Kerry doesn't do any anymore, but he used to do a couple. I do a couple of farmers markets. And then we have a couple other people.
Yeah. So we're still at 8 or 9 farmers markets a week as well.
Oh, wow.
That all has to be managed as
this,
well.
This area is kind of unique with this farmer's market every town.
From Tuesday to Sunday, there's a market that we can go to.
Wow.
And 2 on Wednesday and 2 on Thursday, 2 on Saturday and 2 on Sunday. So, yeah.
Busy.
Incredible amount of work, though, the markets.
Yeah.
Very physically.
It's good to get the business going and help.
Yes.
Like we wouldn't be here with the farmer's markets. Hmm. But it's a bit of a dead end, a great social life, because a real community in the farmers markets, basically, customers and other stall holders. And
great feedback on product and price and everything else. So that's always handy. They'll tell you how your product is and what the price is.
But it consumed basically, especially at our age, if you get up at 5 o'clock every morning and then go into a market till midday. Then that's it for the rest of the day, isn't it?
And it's hard to be charming all the time, isn't it, when you're doing those hours?
We seem to be able to do it, though, don't we, Carmen?
Oh, yes, you, I'm sure you
would. There's course. No doubt. Of course.
Can you hear the crickets in the background now? They're really...
Yes.
We can. Potentially, it's ruining our recording. Anyway. Hopefully we can broadcast this. But yeah, and we've also lost visual of you because it's turning dark where you are.
Oh. Well, you have too. Oh, that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's been such a pleasure to talk to both of you today and to see you both as well. Really lovely.
Thank you, Carmen.
Yeah. Good to see you.
Birds have been interesting in the background too. Thank you.
Nice little small paradise.
Nice soundscape. I don't have to do any soundscape underneath.
All right.
It's natural.
Can you hear that?
Maybe some fake laughter or something. No, just kidding. applause.
Yeah. The crickets have just started. The sun's going down.
Okay.
And the crickets, yeah. We still need the cows mooing, but anyway.
Yeah. I'd like some cockatoos.
No, they quack.
Yeah, we have cockatoos. They're all asleep.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for being on Herds and Curds.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Really lovely to talk to you both, and take care. And I really hope that this can be a year that is transformational for you. That certainly for your health, Kerry, and that you know, you also you guys are stoic. You're such You know how to evolve.
That's the problem. Yeah. The psychologist in the rehab ward said, "Oh, Kerry, you're geared up for this. You've been practicing this for years." No.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm hopeful. I'm optimistic for you two as well because, clearly you know how to adapt.
Yeah,
and anyway, get better and get over here as well.
Yes. Poor Will, anyway.
Thanks to Kerry and Paul Wilson of Nimbin Valley Dairy for joining us on Herds and Curds. And thanks to Carmen for joining us from France. We did have a few crickets in the background, so let's hope that the audio is okay. And you can hear the first part of our conversation with Paul and Kerry by going to the 3CR website and the Herds and Curds page. And we will be coming to you for the final program next week with Alison and Ivan from the Castlemaine Cheese School. So that will be very exciting. And make sure to join us at 8:30 a.m. on Sunday on 3CR, 8:55 a.m. or listen back to the podcast. You can also check us out on Instagram for updates and videos and photos of handsome goats and cows. The music we are heading out with is Blue Nude by Ross Hannaford and Bart Willoughby. Thank you.